Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Folks, you've heard me talk about the challenges of dealing with the homeless population, not only in this metro area, but I've talked extensively about a number of programs across the country, in particular on the West Coast, talked about those that are successful, talked about those that are not so successful in embarking on policy initiatives, some that make sense, some that don't make sense. Well, I'm happy to say that there's a program we're going to talk about today that makes complete sense in from my perspective, and it's one that has been very successful in dealing with the homeless population and providing services here. I know a lot of times people think that I'm not empathetic and I'm not sympathetic to the plight of others. Having said that, I served as the honorary chair, my wife and I, 3 years ago for the Harry Thompson Center for Homeless. They have a fundraiser this Saturday. It's actually going to be at the NIM Center at the Academy of the Sacred Heart, and Margot and Clancy Dubos are the honorary chair couple this year. And if you want to give to a cause that makes a significant impact and a difference in our community each and every day, this is one that you definitely want to consider. Joining us in studio is Vicky Judice, the executive director for the Harry Thompson Center for the Homeless, as well as Anna Pepper Thompson, Father Harry Thompson's sister-in-law. And Harry Thompson came to Jesuit right when I was leaving Jesuit High School as the principal then, and then ultimately the president, and have some fond memories and conversations with him that I think about very often. So, ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you
so much.
So why don't we talk about the event Saturday, and then we'll talk about services. This is your primary fundraising event, I think, for the year, obviously, and it's a heck of a lot of fun. I had a blast, and I think the listening audience, you would too.
Yes. Our theme this year is Harry Says Aloha. Aloha means love, peace, and compassion. And we follow that to share with the homeless, and because that's what Harry wanted us to do. Our event is, as Newell said, at the NIM Center. It starts at 6:30 and ends at 10 next Saturday night, the 23rd. We will have a live auction, silent auction, open bar, wonderful food from local restaurants, and entertainment from FAST, which is a trio that will entertain us all night.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, a lot of energy, a lot of items to bid on, a lot of folks that make in-kind donations to the event. We had a blast chairing it. That was the last year you just told me that it was in the basement at Jesuit High School, this year at the NIM Center, which is a really pretty venue. It's a great venue. I was there the other day for the Shelby Ryan Leonard blood drive that they had for one of my daughter's classmates that passed while in school, and in memory of her. So it's a beautiful facility, and I think it'd be a great time this weekend, this Saturday night. And we ask that everyone go out there. When we talk about the homeless situation, obviously this is a huge challenge for communities across this country. I think many people don't really understand the breadth and depth of the problem. When I visited your complex several times, once with Peter W. and Dr. Peter W. Mm-hmm. and some others that have been very active out there, when I look at the services that y'all provide in a year and the size of the facility, which is nice, but it's not incredibly large, it's amazing how many folks that y'all actually provide services for.
Right. On any particular day, we'll see up to 200 people just from 8 in the morning till noon that actually check in. And over the course of a year, and we've tracked this. 5,900 different people have come through there that said that they were experiencing homelessness. So the volume is huge, but we are very well equipped. We have a small staff of 9 people, but we have about 50 people who volunteer there once a week, including doctors, a psychiatrist, nurses, a lot of retired people who want to give back. So we're very blessed, and we feel equipped, fairly well equipped to be able to address the needs that people present to us.
So describe for the listening audience where y'all are located.
Well, we are located in the parking lot of St. Joseph's Church on Tulane. So the first center was right next door to Jesuit Church on Barone Street, and it did flood during Katrina. So the Jesuits joined forces with the Vincentians, and then they built a new complex, and it's called the St. Joseph's Rebuild Center. So the Harry Thompson Center program moved over there in 2007 when it was after it opened. And so it's we're actually a collaborative with 2 other programs. And we also have a site at the VA, the old medical wing at the VA, to provide similar services. We do laundry and showers there and case management.
So y'all, 15,700 showers, phone calls to reconnect with families to try and move them from a homeless, state into reconnecting with their family, possibly getting folks off the street. Mental health treatment, which I think is huge, because we know that that's a challenge for many folks of this population. 9,000 over-the-counter medical supplies, and the list just goes on and on. And when I went and visited, what I was incredibly moved by is, the challenges comes in. They come in so many different shapes and forms. Have y'all seen, difference in the community today as opposed to when y'all first started? And are there any new emerging challenges with dealing with this homeless population?
We do feel like we're seeing more people that have mental illness. And that's an ongoing struggle. But the one common factor that most people that come through our doors have is that they were poor before they became homeless. So poverty is, if you're poor, that's a good predictor of whether you're going to become homeless or not. So poverty plus a health situation, a health crisis, or a disability, those 2 factors give you, it's a higher predictability of becoming homeless.
We're going to continue this conversation when we come back. Give us a call, 260-1870, or text 870-870 if you have any questions. Of the representatives from the Harry Thompson Center for the Homeless, please give us a call. We'll be right back after the break. This is Newell on WWL. In 2018, 189 persons living on the streets of New Orleans were navigated from homelessness into homefulness in 2018. And you guys are part of a Greater New Orleans coordinated entry system, and you interact with the New Orleans Engagement and Referral Center, which is great to hear, because I think really people like to hear that there's a continuation or a continuum of services and a collaboration. Right. And this private-public collaboratives are very important to dealing with some of the societal issues that we have today.
Yes, we're part of the Unity of Greater New Orleans Collaborative, and also involved with the City of New Orleans coalition, where service providers get together regularly, and we actually try to develop a strategy to reduce homelessness. So we're trying not to manage homelessness, we're really trying to reduce it. And there has been a lot of progress, especially with the chronically homeless. People have been homeless for a long time and are disabled. So we have seen some numbers go down, and that's happening around the country because of the targeted strategy of trying to end their homelessness with permanent supportive housing for people that have disabilities. So
what's the biggest barrier, the largest impediment to moving? Is it the psyche of the homeless individual, the uncertainty, fear? What?
Well, most people that are living on the streets or in night shelters, most people that have some disability, they are happy to get off the street. there's a few that are a little hesitant, and we kind of have to talk them through it. And so they're with mental illness, they may be afraid to go inside, they may be afraid of hearing voices, or they just are unsure because they've been living on the street for so long. So we have a whole case management department, and we are trying to navigate them back into housing, because people weren't born homeless. You know, they were homeless. They were in a house sometime
and
in their
many
life.
Many were gainfully employed at one point in time.
Some people, right.
You know, hit a hard time in their life, and boom, they end up on the streets, right?
So we're trying to navigate them back. And the research shows that 75% of homeless people have only been homeless for 3 weeks to 3 months. But 25% are those that are chronically homeless, those that really need our extra help. And that's where our team comes into play. We try to find those people who really need housing and need some supports to help pay for the rent and provide a case management to keep them in their house. So collectively, with all the service providers doing this through the Unity Collaborative, they have a very good success rate of 90% staying in housing. So that's our job, is to get people into those housing programs.
So when one of the things that I bring to the forefront all the time is that human nature is the first impression is a lasting impression, and you get down off the interstate on an exit to go into downtown New Orleans, and you run into Tent City, and, you know, they have people defecating in front of you and the whole nine yards, and it really just turns people off. Do the sweeps at the city that they engage in, is it frequent enough, or is that more problematic, or you know, what is the psyche of you guys trying to provide a service and of trying to create this balance where, you know, that we don't have this degrading effect of having seen
that? Right. Well, one of the services that we provide are hygiene services. So we have toilets, we have bathrooms, we have showers, and so part of what we're doing is, first, we're welcoming people. You know, we have the kind of the four-leaf clover of hospitality, welcoming people no matter what their situation or physical or emotional state is. Then we offer hygiene services. Let's get you cleaned up and you'll feel better about yourself. And then we offer medical health services. So we have volunteer doctors and a psychiatrist coming in. And then the last thing is, we're really trying to get you back into housing. So really, we think housing is healthcare. So once you get into a house, then you can start working on some of those other issues. You can start looking for a job. You can go to your appointments, maybe reduce your substance abuse, et cetera. So we're there. We do see a lot of people that are living under the bridge. And it's a place where you're kind of – it's a healing environment so that you can – be safe and protected and start to work on getting your life back together.
And I experience that when you walk in the facility, there's a tree in the middle, and you're kind of in this Nirvana garden, I guess, for lack of a better term. But it's very soothing. And the reason I say that is I remember what struck me. There was a relatively young girl that had a daughter with her, and they came in on a bicycle. And one was walking, one was on, and I think the child was on the bike, and the child was probably, I don't know, 11 years old, maybe 9. And I saw him sit on the bench, and then within minutes, I saw that they fell asleep.
Wow.
And, you know, and it struck me that it was a very restful, peaceful sleep, and they felt safe.
Yeah.
And that was the impression that I walked out. And then, you know, you have all you have your sterile offices in the medical area, but it's a very inviting.
That's the intent.
You know,
yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Y'all succeeded, and I was because I sat outside. I said, I'm just going to sit here and watch. You know, because you learn from observation, and you know, and I was moved from the moment that I stepped on the facility.
That's how Father Harry wanted it to be, a place where everybody's welcome, and then we let the healing begin, and we have had a lot of success.
And when we talk about, when we move to homefulness, what is that? I mean, we talk. Are there people that are what type of residential?
Well, that's where HUD comes in, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. They have dedicated some funds for housing for people who are disabled and who are living on the streets in the shelters, not for people who can work. This is for people who really need a little extra help. So they dedicated some funds. Unity of Greater New Orleans is the collaborative, is the lead agency. They distribute those funds to about 30 different organizations. The city also distributes funds. And so we have, part of our budget is to help people get into those housing programs. So the housing that is offered through HUD is, like I said, just for the disabled. People have been homeless for longer than a year. And they still have to pay 30% if they have income of their income for rent. And then they have a case manager that follows them.
And do y'all also, are in your collaborative, there are folks that address unemployment and try to get them gainfully employed
as one
and
of our
place
partners,
them in job placement?
One of our partners at the Rebuild Center, Lantern Light, they have a job assistance program. And actually, I just started going to some meetings that are being led by one of my board directors who wanted to get businesses involved with helping the homeless because they were concerned about so much panhandling going on. Didn't mean to bring that up, but they wanted to do something
well,
that was positive.
It's an issue. It's another issue. I mean, I get a number of calls, people complaining about, you know, the panhandling and you know, how you go about dealing with that and everything else.
So my board member, Mike Hammer's interest was, let's get the businesses together and let's figure out something, a positive alternative. And so we're already brainstorming about ways that we can help people get a job that can work.
Right.
So some of them really are having trouble with that. But for the people that could work, we need to make it easy for them to get some clean clothes, get an interview, and have a job that they can interview for that they might get that job more.
So there's a healthy balance then from what I hear you saying about some of the, for lack of a better term, and it doesn't sound very empathetic at all, a disruption of what's going on under the bridges and the overpasses and everything else, and getting them into, you know, kind of the gatekeeper, which is you guys, because y'all are almost like the initial point of contact in this process and working through that and moving them to the other services.
Right, and we are, you know, we meet people where they're at. So if we're going to talk about reducing homelessness in the bigger picture, we're really going to have to do a better job at preventing poverty, reducing poverty. So
right.
If we have a very high poverty,
well, poverty
rate in
poverty
New Orleans,
drives
so.
a number of issues. It right. drives crime. That's not mm-hmm. a cop out. That's a reality, and obviously the issues that you're dealing with.
Right, and then we need to have some low cost housing that people can afford, because some people do have a Social Security check or they have a part time job, and so they could maybe afford a $400 apartment.
Right.
Okay, but there's not that many around. So if we had more low-cost apartments and better wages, we'd do a better job of it.
All right, we'll be right back. We're going to give you the information about this weekend's event again. And I can tell you, this program works. Stay with us. We're back, and we're talking to Vicki Judice, Executive Director for the Harry Thompson Center for Homeless, and Anna Pepper Thompson, Father Harry Thompson's sister-in-law, and it's the Harry Thompson Center Gala 2019, already 20 years of service.
Yes, we're so happy that we can celebrate Harry's 20 years of service that he started for such an important cause. Again, our gala is this Saturday night, the 23rd, at the NEM Center. Go to 501auctions.com/HTC to see all of the information. You can buy tickets online. You can contribute online. You can see all the live and silent auction items online. We invite all to this important cause and fun evening.
Absolutely. Have a lot of great gifts. We spent some money the last time that we were there and had a good time doing so. The theme this year, Harry Says Aloha. The true meaning of aloha is love, peace, and compassion. So, Vicki, let's, you know, your final thoughts. And it's an incredible mission, you know, that is set out by Father Harry Thompson. And I love, you know, the saying that y'all said, that he used to always say, don't get lazy. And I can hear him saying it, quite frankly. You know, he was always pushing the edges of the envelope. And quite frankly, you know, at Jesuit High School, many of us view that when he came in, it's a place that was struggling. And I can hear him say, don't get lazy, because he really made a difference there for a long, long time and left quite the legacy, quite frankly.
Right. And another saying that we share with our guests, our clients coming in the door, is don't give up. Because they're really having a hard time. And so we don't give up either. So we share in that persistence of sticking with it and being there with the people who are going through a hard time. And we're not going to give up either.
No, in fact, you know, I visited, like I said, your facility. It's an incredibly efficiently run facility. All of the services that you talked about, they're there. They're not made up. They're for real. They're operational. They're working. And as I said, I could tell a number of other stories of just sitting there for about an hour, you know, just watching and observing. Mm-hmm. And I was moved by the facility. And I guess y'all welcome people to come by and
it's
see
a public. It's a public place, and we are a day shelter, so our business hours are only from 8 to 2:30, but a lot of people come through there, like a couple hundred people a day, and there's people giving tours, and I have no idea who these people are, and they're like, this is where this happens, and they have homeless people giving tours, and they're bringing their friends over for help, so it's a community center, and all are welcome.
Yeah, you know, and as I said before, it's a challenge. It's a balance of interest of the community in dealing with this issue and trying to move people into what you call homefulness. I actually like that term. I was not familiar with it until I read it in y'all's information sheet that you have, and you provide also transitional housing as well to move folks from one to the other, and not you guys, but in the continuum of services
that
are provided. Right. So and it's a worthwhile event this Saturday at the NIM Center, which is the Academy of the Sacred Heart, 4301 St. Charles Avenue, from 6:30 to 10 p.m. May want to check it out. Cocktails, that's important. New Orleans fine cuisine, that's always important. You know what else is important? It's dressy casual, so you don't have to get all dressed up for this event. It's very laid back, a lot of fun. You're going to see a lot of people that you probably haven't seen in a long time, because it's amazing how many people actually come out and support. It's not amazing, but it's good to see how many people come out and support providing the services for the homeless population and trying to move them into a homefulness state. Let me thank both of y'all for attending today.
Thank you so much for having us.
We really appreciate
thank
your time.
You.
We appreciate your spirit. We appreciate the endeavor, obviously, and it's an important part of our community. So thank y'all so much.
We appreciate you. Thank
All right.
you so much.
We'll be right back. Stay with us. Got to get to a break. We just had a great conversation about the Harry Thompson Center for the Homeless, and now joining us is Melissa Carter, Regional Director of Marketing for Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. They are announcing a National Lemonade Day fundraising event. Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be on.
So tell us about y'all's event, and I think it runs today, right?
Yes, you are absolutely correct. Raising Cane's is a national sponsor of Lemonade Day. I'm sure folks in Louisiana are familiar with us being involved here in Louisiana. It'll be our ninth year this year here in Louisiana. But last year, we actually joined on with National as well to help bring Lemonade Day to kids all across the country. And so in all of our restaurants today, we will be donating $1 of all lemonade sales to support Lemonade Day National and help give back to the organization that brings that program to so many kids across the country.
You know, I'm almost ashamed to say this. I didn't even know what Lemonade Day was about many years ago when it started. And all of a sudden I see all these lemonade stands. I'm like, what's going on here? And I guess this is a perfect relationship for you guys, because I can honestly say I love your lemonade.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, it's perfect for us. We love doing it. Like I said, it's been 9 years here in Louisiana. And for anyone who doesn't know, it's a free program that is dedicated to teaching children how to start, own, and operate their own business through, you know, the simple idea of opening a lemonade stand, which so many of us have done growing up.
It's a great way to learn about cost of goods sold and a profit and everything okay. else that goes with it, and that, you know, hard work. I understand. What are the age ranges that the kids are for the interactive programs?
Sure. We usually encourage it for kids starting as early, as second grade, so, you know, 7, 8 years old. And we have the program goes all the way through high school for teenagers. But, you know, you really find a lot of kids enjoy participating, you know, as young as 6, 7 years old, typically through, you know, they're about 13 years old. But we do have some teenagers who like to participate as well.
So it's not just the fact of them setting up a stand. There are actually other materials that are provided in you know, a course of instruction, correct?
Yes, there are. So, you know, in addition to today's fundraiser going on at Raising Cane's, we are also going to be helping parents and caring adults get kids registered for Lemonade Day this weekend. So on Saturday at all of our locations here in Louisiana from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., parents and caring adults can come to any Raising Cane's in the state and help get their kids registered. And as part of getting registered, they'll get a free journal that they can take home and, you know, work through the program. In addition, if, you know, you can't get out, there are other ways to sign up. So the other main way to sign up is is online at louisiana.lemonadeday.org. And, you know, signing up online will give you access to Lemonopolis. And it's a program that parents can work with their children online to learn all about, you know, the fundamentals of starting their own business. Like you were talking about math and just, you know, kind of really understanding profits and, you know, what you do, you know, once you make those profits, you give them back to your investors, you keep a little bit for yourself so that you can spend on something fun. And then, you know, as a third part of that, we like to encourage kids in the state to give back to a local charity and something that they feel really good about giving back to.
And that's one of the things that is part of the program that I think has been most successful is talking about philanthropy and giving back to the community and being a good corporate partner. And thinking, you know, that you're not the center of the universe, that, you know, that everyone else plays a role in your life and we're all in this together.
Yeah. And I mean, it's something we're very passionate about here at Raising Cane's. And, you know, part of what we do is try to get involved, actively get involved in our communities where we do business and give back where we can. And so, you know, that's just another aspect of this program that means so much to us is really teaching kids that, you know, there are so many wonderful things about learning how to actually own and operate your own business. And part of that is being able to give back to the community that gives so much to you.
So absolutely. Today, Raising Cane's will give $1 for every lemonade drink that's sold at all the Raising Cane's throughout Louisiana. Actually, is it Louisiana or the 425 nationwide?
425 nationwide Raising Cane's in 26 different states will be given back today.
Absolutely. And the Lemonade Day Louisiana will take place statewide on Saturday, May 4th, 2019, right?
You got it. So, I mean, with that, I encourage adults and folks to just get out into the community on Saturday, May 4th, and, you know, stop at the lemonade stands you see all across the state and, you know, help those kids, you know, really feel the excitement and the reward from working that program.
Absolutely. Melissa Carter, Regional Director of Marketing for Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate the information you provided.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Think about it. Lemonade Day in Louisiana, Saturday, May 4th. For every lemonade you buy today in Raising Cane's, $1 goes to this endeavor. They hope to teach problem solving, communication skills, self-esteem, and philanthropy, amongst a number of other valuable lessons for self-improvement. Appreciate Melissa coming on today. We'll be right back after the break. I don't know about you, but I really enjoy talking to those in the not-for-profit world. They really believe in the mission and the services that they provide. And today we talked to the folks from the Harry Thompson Center for the Homeless, and they provide so many incredible services out there. This year's 2019 Legatus Christi Award honoree is Loretta White. The MC of the gala Saturday night is Norman Robinson. Love Norman Robinson. I'd love to see him. And the entertainment is fast. The Ferrato Orten Sipos Trio will be there. It'll be a great time. And don't forget, if you buy a lemonade at Raising Cane's today, $1 is donated to Lemonade Day for Kids. And Lemonade Day Louisiana will take place statewide on Saturday, May 4th, 2019. And joining me on the line, because he's still broadcasting from home, is Scoot. Scoot, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Newell. You know, it's really, I can't wait to get back in the studio. But, you know, we're a big corporation, and we have to wait for the proper paperwork, and anybody who works in HR understands all about that. But I'm allowed to do the show from home, but I can't come back at the station until all that's taken care of. So it's all being worked on, and I'll be back soon. You know, it is convenient. As you know, the geographical location of our studio is not...
I think you're getting comfortable, Scoot.
Well, I am comfortable. My kitchen's right behind me. The bathroom is right over here. And as you know, our studio is not geographically close to the men's room. So it would be a struggle on crutches to get there and to do the things that I do during breaks. So it's easier to be here. Also, my leg is supposed to be propped up so I can prop it up here. I can't do that at the station. But I am anxious to get back there, which will be very, very soon.
And you're still getting out and about a little bit because I've been watching you on Facebook and some of the other social network stuff. And so you're still out there.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm in a protected situation and I've got a place to go and sit and have my leg up, yeah, I mean, there are opportunities for me to get out a little bit. But I tell you, Newell, I have the deepest respect for anybody who is on crutches all the time or people who live in wheelchairs. I was in a wheelchair for an event and have been on crutches since then. And, you know, it's not easy getting around. I mean, just I'm kind of sequestered into a corner here on my sofa with a computer here, with the phone calls, a computer here, with the text messages, papers here, papers there, equipment here, my tea here. And it's not easy to get up and actually get to the restroom. But for those people who have to deal with that on a regular basis, man, God bless you.
It's a defining moment for the understanding of handicap access, is it not?
Well, it is. And, you know, you never know when you're going to benefit from handicapped areas because, you know, instead of going up on the curb, you know, I use that little ramp up on, you know, the little yellow ramp up, mm-hmm. with the little nubbles on it or whatever. You know, I use that. It's easier than going up on the curb when I'm on the street. So there are a lot of things that, you know, benefit from, even if you're not handicapped all the time. And as I've said many times, as bad as this is and as much as this sucks for me, I know it's only temporary. So,
well, and looking at the all-important day sheet, looks like you got quite the lineup today.
Well, yeah, this is going to be fun. The Confederate monuments taken down about 2 years ago, and the Lieutenant Governor Nungesser wants to have them transferred to the state, so we'll talk a little bit about that. But I think the bigger question that I want to get into today is, okay, it's been almost 2 years. Do you miss them? Has the city changed? Has the city gotten any better? Has the city gotten any worse? So we'll get into all of that.
It's hard to imagine. Also, it's been 2 years already. I can't.
I know. Well, it was, May 2017. Yeah. It is amazing how fast time flies. And then with the hiring of Donna Brazile, and I know you talked to her earlier on your show, Fox News is showing signs that they might be leaning toward the middle and less extremely pro-Trump. Is this just anticipation of the election, or is this a move that they think is necessary because the climate in this country is changing? We'll have that conversation. And as you know, the prosecution offered the Patriots owner, Robert Kraft, a deal. If he admitted that he would be found guilty at a trial, they would drop the charges. He's not going along with the deal. Should this man be punished? And do you think that he's not being punished because of his position in society and because he has money? And how fair is that?
That and what's interesting is that there seems to be some frailties in the case, and as more information reveals itself, but you know, it would be very disappointing if that's in fact the case.
I love when they say he paid a prostitute. What, were you not going to pay her?
All right. Always an important insight. Scoot's up next. Stay tuned. Want to thank everybody for their participation today, and Scoot will be right back with you when we return.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.